It's time for the Kelly Kelly Show. Kelly is an award-winning photographer and the owner of the website iloveclearwater.com. Doug is the author of 4 published books and a contributing editor for Florida Sportsman magazine. And now, here they are.
Hello, my unconventional conventionists, as Dr. Frankenfurter would say. When people ask about what kind of radio show we have, I always liken it to a variety show. I don't say Ed Sullivan variety show anymore because nobody remembers who he is. But
it's true.
We usually interview, though, interesting people in our community and sometimes change it up by presenting favorite songs with different themes.
Right, and the songs may be from famous musical plays, movie themes, rock and roll, or country hits, and on and on and on.
Well, today being April Fool's Day, I was tempted to come up with improbable guests such as a deodorant tester or someone who's climbed the smallest mountain in the world or something like that.
Well, that would have been good.
But while we didn't go in that direction, I did announce my candidacy for President of the United States on Facebook, which today's joke... It is, of course, a joke.
It is
and
a
it
joke.
Ends, my candidacy ends tonight at midnight, being April Fool's Day.
But today's show is no joke.
No.
Our first guest is indeed a president, but the president of the Suncoast Fly Fishers of St. Petersburg.
Oh, I got to stop you there. Not the president.
Oh, okay.
Just a newsletter editor.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, that's close enough. We're going to move you up today.
Okay, thank you.
Right, there you go.
Oh, it's April Fool's Day. So.
That's right.
That's right. And a noted outdoor writer.
Yes, and a longtime friend. Our other guest is a professional photographer. That's going to be very interesting as well.
Ed Davis is with us today, and he's the executive producer of the TAN Talk Radio Network, and among other duties, oversees the control room. Ed, how's your week been so far?
Never been accused of being the president, that's for sure.
No. I can
see a groundswell.
I gotta tell you real quickly the funniest April Fool's joke I ever saw.
Okay.
Sam Weiss was just hired as the Buccaneer head coach.
Yes.
And he had Vinny Testaverde as his quarterback, and he had Steve DeBerg.
Yes.
Well, we were all outside, you know, and you wait for him to come out and talk, we hear loud yelling. He comes busting through the door, and we're like, what's up? I don't want to talk about it. He pulls his keys out and starts walking to his car. And finally, after asking, he sat down, he rolled down his window, and he said, look, I was here hired to do a job. I was told it was going to be my way. I've got Vinny in there. Grind that he should be the quarterback, and Steve DeBerg complained he should be the quarterback, and I've just had it. I can't do this. I'm sorry. We'll rip up the contract. Started to put his car in drive, rolled up the window, stopped it, rolled it down, and he said, April Fool's.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good one. I actually fished with Steve DeBerg a million years ago when one of the charity tournaments was taking place in Tampa. And he was a character. He had a girlfriend
always
with him, and I won't even tell you the stories he told me. That's not fit for family consumption. But he was a real character. Never met him again after that, but he was something else. You know, if you're new to our show, we keep things upbeat and positive. Kelly Kelly's show is also live right now on Facebook. It'll be on the TAN Talk YouTube channel as well as podcast. And the studio is at the WTAN station in Clearwater, and the show is simulcast on our sister station in Dade City on 2 a.m. and 2 FM signals that do blanket Tampa Bay.
We're going to hear from our sponsors briefly, but first see if you know the answer to this. In which state is it illegal to catch fish with your bare hands? Is it Massachusetts, Florida, or Kansas? The answer right after this.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Perenick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at guyharvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Just about everyone is fascinated by the mafia. Books and movies like The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, and many others became bestsellers and box office hits. Did you know that a century ago, mobsters like Al Capone discovered Florida's tropical climate and sparse law enforcement? Mafia bosses from around the nation began setting up illegal operations in Florida. Now, for the first time, a new book titled Sunshine State Mafia, A History of Florida's Mobsters, Hitmen, and Wise Guys provides vivid stories and never-before-seen images of dangerous criminals who settled in Florida full or part-time. Written by renowned author Doug Kelly, Sunshine State Mafia exposes the hidden history of the mob throughout the state and includes Doug's own brushes with crime figures. Sunshine State Mafia is available at all major book retailers or obtain a signed copy by calling 727-724-4949. Or email sunshinestatemafia@gmail.com.
These days, amidst supply chain issues, staffing crises, and rising energy bills, it's not easy to be a successful entrepreneur in Clearwater. For many, financial fears have led to sleepless nights. On top of that, many more have employees and customers that they're trying to protect and reassure. A monumental task when they themselves are struggling with burnout. We're all experiencing a lot of intense emotions. So where can you find safe harbor? At Amplify Clearwater. Amplify Clearwater is your chamber of commerce, and the name says it all. To make Clearwater larger, greater, stronger. Here you'll find like-minded members who are seeking opportunities to learn from each other. To collaborate, network, support, and do business together. Every business owner's goal in 2022 is to grow their business. If you need help, your friends at Amplify Clearwater are here for you. Submit your application today at amplifyclearwater.com/join.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, well, thank you for sticking with us here on the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Doug Kelly with my wife, co-host, and three-quarter best friend. Well, 100% best friend, Kelly Kelly. And we're here with Big Ed Davis in the control room. And our first guest is Bill Acoin. That's spelled A-U-C-O-I-N. And if you know your anatomical listing.
Elemental chart.
AU is gold.
Well, wait a minute. I'm on the edge of my seat. What happened to the answer to the trivia?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, yeah. No.
I was waiting for you to ask me. All right. Well, we did. Before the break, I was rudely interrupted because I forgot to say just before the ad, we had a little teaser, and that was a question, a trivia question. In what state is it illegal to catch fish with your bare hands? The choices were Massachusetts, Florida, or Kansas. And the answer, Kansas.
Yeah.
And don't tell me why.
I don't know why. Do you know why?
I think it should be an Olympic sport.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Catch fish by hand.
And Bill was just telling us something about that. We'll get into that right after our introduction that you so properly interrupted me for. So anyway, he is a native of Mobile, Alabama, mm-hmm. which is significant. We'll mention that in a minute, too. Mm-hmm. After marrying Ann, his college sweetheart, who he's still married to, mm-hmm. they moved to Memphis, and his first job was as a reporter for United Press International. Mm-hmm. Very prestigious. And then from Memphis, he went to Chicago and joined the marketing department of Outdoor Marine Corporation, which was the maker of Evinrude, and Johnson Outboard Motors, which were pretty much what you bought back, starting from the 30s, I guess, all the way up to the 80s.
That's right.
They were in something.
In 1985, he left OMC, and he and Ann and their two high school daughters moved to St. Petersburg, where Bill opened his own advertising and public relations business with a focus on boating and fishing.
And he became president of the Florida Outdoor Writers Association, as Kelly did years later, sure. And also wrote for Florida Sportsman Magazine, whereupon he met Kelly and I through all of that.
That's right.
He's retired now, but keeps busy. Writing the monthly Gulf Report for Southern Boating Magazine, and also he's editor of the monthly newsletter for the Suncoast Fly Fishers of St. Petersburg. Bill, great seeing you again.
Well, Doug, good to see you again. Kelly, great to see you again.
Yeah. You too.
And I'm so glad we came to Florida.
I can hear you
for
there.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Bill, tell us about the Suncoast Fly Fishers.
It's an amazing fly fishing club. It may be the biggest one in Florida.
Wow.
It has about 138 members, and it's just a fun club.
It's
and
based
you
in
learn
St. Pete.
You learn a lot about fly fishing. You learn a lot about fly tying. You learn a lot about fly casting. You meet a lot of friends. And we have a real luscious picnic every month somewhere, Fort DeSoto Park or whatever. And so I've really enjoyed it. And then doing the newsletter kind of kept me interested in writing. That's kind of who I was
keeps
a writer.
Keeps you up to date on things.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's called On the Fly. And anybody who's interested can look it up, and they can read it and learn more about the club, too. It's suncoastflyfishers.com.
Well, okay.
And you don't have to be a professional fly fisherman. You have people of all stripes, right?
Oh, indeed. People that come in, they don't know anything about it. But a lot of them are snowbirds that came down from up north, and they have been fly fishers, but they don't know anything about saltwater fly fishing.
Quite different.
And so they are really anxious to learn.
You got different gear. You got different species, different lures or flies, I should
say. Yeah, maybe they've been used to using a 4-weight or a 5-weight, and now we say, oh, no, a 7-weight or an 8-weight might be a little bit better for these snook. And of course, fly fishing is pretty much inshore flats fishing, which, in my humble opinion, is the most fun. It's not offshore fishing.
It's easier on the bones, too.
Much easier on the bones.
It sure is. It sure is. And it's so pretty. It's beautiful around those mangrove islands.
Oh, it is.
Tell us about that, just the romance of it.
Well, you know, if you look at a satellite picture of Pinellas County, you'll notice one thing. Two things. One thing is it's all plotted and pieced. Homes, roads, it's it. You know, there's nothing. And then on the eastern side of Tampa, on the shoreline of Tampa Bay, there's this green area. That's Whedon Island. It might be 1,000 acres, and it belongs to the citizens of Florida. And it's mangroves and shallow water and snook and redfish and so many birds.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
And bats, I remember.
Oh, it is terrific. It really is. And so, I mean, it's just amazing when you look at that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of other places in Florida are all busy, too. Pinellas is all packed.
Yes.
Except
yes, it is.
Whedon Island is just right.
Isn't that something?
Like, we need that. It's good for our sanity.
You got to get away from everybody.
Somebody owned that land, I read, many years ago.
Really?
It was a doctor from Tampa. In fact, Pinellas used to be part of Hillsborough.
Yes.
But anyway, he died, and his daughter and her husband owned it then, and then they decided to give it to the state. And the state owns it, but they let Pinellas County manage it. It's not a pure preserve, but it's almost a preserve.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. Let's say I've been a regular angler. Even in Florida, you know, just spin fishermen.
Yeah.
Maybe once in a while going out to the reef if you have one, or way offshore for tuna or something. But let's say I wanted to take up fly fishing.
Yeah.
And I come to your club.
Yeah.
What process would I go through in learning the steps and what you need?
Oh, come to a meeting. It's, you know, guests are welcome all the time.
There you go.
And then grab somebody by the collar and say, tell me more about the club.
There you go. And where do you meet?
Thanks for asking. Yes.
Yes.
We meet monthly at in St. Petersburg at Walter Fuller Park. Mm-hmm. You could look it up.
Walter Fuller
Park. It's in
Park.
The kind of South Pinellas. Mm-hmm. And we meet at 6 to 9 p.m. And we'll have a speaker from like 7 to 8 that includes questions and answers. And half the time, it's a guide telling us where to fish and how to fish, we think.
Yeah. What he's telling us. Except for the famous Nicole. Right?
Yeah. And then the other half is usually will be some conservation interest telling us how things are doing in Tampa Bay.
I got you.
And how we can help the cause, pick up debris or whatever, and stuff like that. So,
how is the fish situation in Tampa Bay? Is
it well, good? It's apparently better than it had been in quite a while, but it still has a long way to go. Mm-hmm. When I first moved here in 1985, oh my gosh, Kelly, Doug, it was so many fish.
Plentiful, yeah.
In fact, one of the Florida Outdoor Writers guys, you may remember the name Hardy Bryan.
Oh, sure, I do.
He told me, I said, where do people fish? And all he knew was these deep holes out in the middle of the bay. Mm. Nobody went on the flats. Mm. And it was right about 1985, people started fishing the flats.
Yeah.
And there'd be huge schools of redfish. You could hear them crashing across the grass flats.
Wow.
One time, we got out of the boat and threw topwater lures and waited for them. Mm. And as soon as I got there, we jerked our topwater lures and both, and the two of us was a twofer.
Double hookup, yeah.
Wow.
Cool.
But now it's not that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still good.
Right.
And and of course, there's so many rewards just being out there, you know?
Yes.
And you see more than just fish. You catch more fish. And there's birds, of course. You know, those roseate spoonbills are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, they're rare. Beautiful.
Yeah. And what other animals do you see? Dolphins?
Oh, yes.
Manta
dolphins.
Rays?
What'd you say?
Manta rays? Manatees? Any of that?
Manatees.
Manatees.
Manatees. And in certain times of the year, you see a lot of them. In fact, I was wade fishing one time. I like to wade fish.
Yes, I do too.
I walked right into a manatee.
Oh, my gosh.
It scared them both of us half to death.
Went in opposite directions.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was something.
That's
something
else. Remember that's cool. What type of species do you normally fish for or catch?
Go out to motor out to Whedon Island, mm-hmm. and we stake the boat out, and then we fish for redfish mm-hmm. and sea trout. And seasoned snook. Mm-hmm. The snook are waking up right now, by the way. They really are. So they're kind of warm. And those three are the big shiny objects for us, you know. And we just love to catch them. And you have to know the seasons, and you have to know the. If we release 99% of everything.
I was going to ask that. You pretty much catch and release everything.
But although I have to confess, if I catch a snook in the slot ever again in my whole life, I'm going to keep them.
They're delicious.
They're good.
They have a great taste. There's no doubt about it.
Easy to clean and good to eat.
You betcha. You betcha.
Yeah.
What about tarpon? Do you ever?
I've not caught one on the fly. That's mm-hmm. got to be on my bucket list,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't they amazing?
Oh, they're so powerful.
And Pinellas, the Sun Coast, and of course the whole Florida coast, I guess, from Homosassa to the Key West is tarpon amazing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I've learned a lot about them.
Mm-hmm.
Egmont Key is one of their major places where they meet up.
Yep.
Form Charlotte Harbor's the other one.
Yes.
They meet up and form into pods to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
But they go way offshore to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I understand it, the baby tarpon are minnows, but they're translucent, and they're so clear that predators can't eat them.
Oh, I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
And then when they're a little big enough, they'll come back into the shallows. And they go up to some of the remote, dingiest, dirtiest water mm-hmm. they can find
mm-hmm.
because they can breathe from their lungs, too. And they know that predator fish won't be around them because they can't get enough oxygen in the water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they'll go way up, you know, the rivers and some of the canals and stuff like that. And then they finally get big enough. I guess they go back out into Tampa Bay and join the mature ones, huh?
I know Egmont Key, I think just on the north side where it's really deep,
uh-huh.
you'll get the crab flush. which means you'll get the blue crabs flowing
yes.
in and flowing out on the full moon and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand the fishing is just for tarpon. Can be quite exciting.
It is. And there's a protocol of that, by the way. I've done it a couple of times because mm-hmm. there might be 200 boats there.
Yes.
And you can't use your motor. You got to be careful. And there's a drift. Mm-hmm. And you have to know the protocol for getting in your place in the drift.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come drift, and you drift from inshore out Egmont Pass.
Yep.
And look for tarpon along the way, so you have your shot at it.
Yes.
You know? I think a lot of people just put a 6-aught hook on a pass crab. And throw it.
Let it float out there. No, you have to have protocol because if you try to anchor up in the pass, of course, and you do get a fish hooked up, you're going to tie up all kinds of lines.
It's going to mess up everything.
And everyone's not going to be on your Christmas card list.
Oh, gosh.
They're going to be very unhappy if you do that. So, yes, if you do go out there, go with someone who knows what they're doing
I was just going to add, too, that if you're a fly fisherman, though, one of the things you might want to consider doing is get a guide and he'll be a couple hundred yards off of the one of the beaches. Mm-hmm. You'll hear kids screaming. They're having a great time. And you're watching pods of tarpon come down. And when you see one, then you can throw a cast a fly or a lure out for them. And then you can catch one on the fly.
Yeah, extremely.
maybe.
And these fish get into the triple digits. Some of them get up to 130, 150 pounds, even bigger.
Yeah.
And if you get one of those on the line, you're going to have one battle.
Oh, gosh.
You're going to be sore the next day.
I've done that. I've caught them on a spinning rod, and they are something. And they are, but you can see them coming.
Yeah.
One time I could see a pod of about five of them. And the guide was talking to the other friend of mine, and I just threw my lure out. It was one of those DOA, can't think of the name of it, sinks. Mm.
Buster? Artificial
lure, and it sank to the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I threw it too far. So I reeled it all the way back into the boat.
And bam.
I threw it back out again, let it sink, and then it was just about right, and when the pod came by, I gave it a jerk from the sand, and the lead tarpon saw it, turned his head to the left, and went for it.
Oh, boy.
And I saw all that unfold.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's,
wow.
It's in my head.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll not forget that one.
Yeah. That's a memory reel.
That's right.
And you never forget it. It goes back. What is the contact info for the club?
Oh, go to suncoastflyfishers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll read on the home menu, pulling down, it'll read about the history of it. And then I think it'll direct you to membership. Membership is $40 a year, but that includes a membership in the Fly Fishers International Club.
Oh, my. That's very inexpensive.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a senior, like some of us, it's only $30, I think.
Right.
Uh-huh. And if you want to add your family, get your boys involved or girls, too, or whatever, you know, then that's $60 or something like that.
Sure.
But it's worth it, and we always love to see new members and kids, too.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And also I wanted to mention, too, there's usually soft drinks and water and cookies and donuts at the meeting, so they bring your kids.
I'll come just for the donuts. That sounds wonderful. That is really good. You know, we have a quick backstory, too, before we take a break here, and that is you have a relationship, a little bit old, but it's a – tell us about Jimmy Buffett and your roots with him.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, as you mentioned earlier, I'm from Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
So that is Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah.
He was a few years younger than me, but it turns out we went to the same grade school. It was St. Ignatius in Spring Hill. So he was there, and I knew Jimmy, and I knew his little sister. I forgot her name.
I don't remember it either.
Who married Tom McWane, by the way. All a bunch of us were altar boys.
Oh.
And so I was showing Doug and Kelly earlier. There's a picture of all the altar boys.
Yeah, one of the cameras. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know if they can see it or not, but
Jimmy Buffett at the age of what? About 5 or 6?
Yeah, I think he was maybe in the third or fourth grade or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
But he's wearing white bucks, in which you weren't supposed to do.
Okay.
Well, that's him, right? He always stood out. That's for sure.
That's something else.
Yeah, but he was a nice guy.
Tom McGuane, who's a very well known. Author as it comes to outdoor writing and fly fishing, etc. Mm-hmm. And he married Jimmy's sister.
I don't know how that happened, but I assume that it was Lori Buffett was her name. Just came to me.
There you go.
That they were all down in the Keys some point, and he probably got introduced to Lori, and or vice versa, or something like that.
Yeah.
And the rest, and they've apparently been quite a nice couple in Montana for quite a number of years.
Is that right?
So,
fantastic.
I think so. Yeah.
That's great. Well, Bill, it's been so much fun seeing you again.
It's good to see
you again.
Honestly,
I hate to, and this is no pandering. I have to tell you, you barely look like you've aged.
Oh, come on.
I think the fly fishing and being outdoors and enjoying yourself and being a very upbeat guy.
I think so.
Has kept some of the
wrinkles
off.
I appreciate that, saying that, and try not to get into arguments.
That's smart.
Yeah.
And keep the stress level down, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so far so good.
Very good. Very good.
Good to see you too, Doug. Good to see you, Kelly.
You too.
Wonderful. Just before we go, once again, mention the contact info for
SuncoastFlyFishers.com. Spend some time on there. Pull the menus down. You can probably even read some jokes. And you can buy a membership online if you want, or come to a meeting, see what you like, and then join if you want to.
SuncoastFlyFishers.com.
SuncoastFlyFishers.com.
All right, listen, we'll be back in a few moments, but first see if you can correctly answer this trivia question, true or false. Most villains in the Bible have black hair. The answer, right after this.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
In 1955, the law firm now known as Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes made a decision. Instead of taking whatever cases came through their doors, they decided to focus specifically on personal injury. 64 years later, the law firm is one of Clearwater's longest-running personal injury firms. Available 24 hours a day with offices in Clearwater and throughout Tampa Bay, they're ready to put decades of experience to work for you if you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident or injured due to someone's negligence or recklessness. If you feel overwhelmed, uncertain, or unsure about your next steps after being involved in an accident or after a loved one sustained serious injuries due to someone else's negligence, call Peronick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes at 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. That's 727-796-8282 or online at usalaw.com. Non-attorney spokesman.
Shop the largest selection of Guy Harvey apparel, artwork, and gift items at GuyHarvey.com. From the world-renowned marine wildlife artist, the Guy Harvey online shop features the latest in performance apparel, classic Guy Harvey t-shirts, decor for every room in your home, exquisite ocean-inspired jewelry, and unique gift items, including custom merchandise not available anyplace else. Browse an extensive catalog of original Guy Harvey works of art and a full range of beautiful reproductions. As with all Guy Harvey merchandise, a percentage of sales benefits the ocean conservation, research, and education work of the Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation. The Guy Harvey Ocean Foundation will help ensure that future generations can enjoy and benefit from a well-balanced ocean ecosystem. Bring the undersea world into your everyday life at GuyHarvey.com.
Just about everyone is fascinated by the mafia. Books and movies like The Godfather, Goodfellas, Casino, and many others became bestsellers and box office hits. Did you know that a century ago, mobsters like Al Capone discovered Florida's tropical climate and sparse law enforcement? Mafia bosses from around the nation began setting up illegal operations in Florida. Now, for the first time, a new book titled Sunshine State Mafia, A History of Florida's Mobsters, Hitmen, and Wise Guys provides vivid stories and never-before-seen images of dangerous criminals who settled in Florida
full or part-time. Written by renowned author Doug Kelly, Sunshine State Mafia exposes the hidden history of the mob throughout the state and includes Doug's own brushes with crime figures. Sunshine State Mafia is available at all major book retailers, or obtain a signed copy by calling 727-724-4949. Or email sunshinestatemafia@gmail.com.
Ask any successful entrepreneur. They'll tell you that the fundamental way to grow a business is through strategic connections. Relationships drive business. Forming a solid network of reliable contacts is essential to your growth. And there's no better way to get connected in Clearwater than through membership in Amplify Clearwater, your Chamber of Commerce for Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Amplify Clearwater is your first level of support. Membership affords you the opportunity to meet like-minded business owners you otherwise wouldn't have met. You'll be able to collaborate, network, support, bond, and do business with each other. Interested? Then visit AmplifyClearwater.com. There you'll find all the information you need to make an informed decision and start the membership application process. Amplify Clearwater. One community, one chamber, one vision. Join today at AmplifyClearwater.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Kelly Kelly Show. I'm Kelly Kelly. I'm here with my better half, Doug Kelly. Although I'm better looking.
That's for sure.
And before the break, Doug asked, is it true or false that most villains in the Bible have black hair? And believe it or not, that is false. Most villains in the Bible have red hair.
How about that?
See, I learned something every day on this show.
Very good. Some of it may be true.
Some of it may be true, yeah. So I'd like to introduce our next guest. His name is Jeremiah Coker. And I've been following you on Facebook for a while, and your photography is amazing. But you also do other things. So tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, how you came to be to Clearwater, that sort of thing.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Yes.
And thank you for the kind words.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Pakistan and moved over to the States in 96 to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And after completing my education, I moved down to Pinellas County back in 2002. And even though I've lived in some pretty extreme parts of the globe over the course of my life, ironically, as of this year, I have lived longer in Pinellas County than anywhere else in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
So
awesome.
I'm more Pinellas County than just about anything else at this point.
That's great.
That's fantastic. Now, when you say the name Jeremiah, I know you get ribbed all the time about two things. Jeremiah is a Bullfrog by Three Dog Night, and Jeremiah Johnson, the great movie back...
Your favorite movie.
My favorite movie way back when, of the mountaineer Jeremiah Johnson. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's not you. You're Jeremiah Coker, and that's spelled interesting, K-H-O-K-H-A-R.
Yes, ironically, anytime I have to spell my name, most people think I'm repeating myself when I get to the second K-H. And so every trick available in the book that I have employed to circumnavigate that has been to no avail. So I will typically, when I'm speaking with somebody on the phone, whenever I say my name is spelled, because I never actually say my name on the phone, you're just wasting time, because they're going to start with C-O-K, and then they have to do a whole bunch of deleting. So I have this very theatrical way of saying my last name, so I will simply say, let me just spell it for you, and then I say K-H-O, and then there's a pause. And then I say K-H, and they're like, nope, I got that. Yes, it's K-H-O, K-H-A-R.
There you go. That works.
It's the story of my life.
Yes, well, this is my co-host, Kelly, can tell us about her situation being called Kelly Kelly.
Yeah.
She applies for something or says something on the phone, and she says, my name is Kelly. And K-E-L-L-Y, and they said, that's fine. What's your last name? Kelly. No. Yeah. What is your last name?
Same thing.
She goes
thing,
through
so
it, too.
So I can sympathize, for sure. But in reading your bio, you've done a lot of interesting things. Musician, chef, real estate agent, and then tell us a little bit about that and how you came to be a photographer.
So Yes, I've done a little bit of a lot of different things, and that's kind of been the story of my entire life. I love dabbling in all kinds of things. I guess you could say that I am a very restless kind of creative mind. Maybe chaotic is a better word for people who actually know me. And so I get bored easily, and so I go from one thing to the next. Very typical.
That's what creativity is, though.
Yes, and yes.
It's a flow.
It's definitely a flow. And in 2011, I found myself at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday. It's too long of a story. There's some links that I had sent over earlier that are where it's well covered. But I found myself at the Clearwater Jazz Holiday back in 2011, and I took some photos. It was basically I hoodwinked my way into the festival just so I could hear Maceo Parker play his saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
He was the headlining act Saturday night in 2011 here at Cochran Park. And I took some photos that weekend. I had no clue what I was doing. I was photographing everything in automatic mode. In fact, I had to hold down the flash when the sun set, because apparently when you're very close to the stage, I didn't know this in 2011, you aren't really allowed to use flash photography because that disrupts musicians. So anyways, that landed me squarely in being offered a full-time contractor gig at the city of Clearwater.
That's great.
Following that festival back in 2012, in the My Clearwater magazine, in the little Clearwater characters edition of the magazine that comes out. I was the Clearwater character that was featured in the 2012 magazine, which is bizarre because I knew nothing about photography. I've never studied it. And and that birthed a career that I wasn't looking for. So I was essentially chosen by this career in a very, very...
It was fateful.
It was very fateful. I couldn't have scripted, because I just went to go get a free ticket to bum my way into a festival in Clearwater, and the photography bit was just a sure, I'll take some photos, and the rest is history.
Isn't that something?
As they say,
it's a great story.
I took pictures for 12 years for Clearwater, and I never got offered a job. So this is in testament of what a great photographer you are.
Yeah.
Well,
you've got an eye.
I don't know that I'm a great photographer.
You are.
I think that I am really burdened by something that maybe a lot of people aren't necessarily thinking about, and that is photography is just everything that I photograph. For whatever reason, I took ownership that it was simply my opinion of the thing. And I think far too many people, and sometimes if I do this, I still do this from time to time, I think when we think that this is the unequivocal truth on something that we're looking at, we lose the plot that it's simply my opinion. So when you come to portraits, this is super simple. But in landscapes, right? Like, depending on your white balance and certain other sort of technical things, let's say you're shooting with a very long lens that only captures a very small portion of sky. But the sky is maybe like hundreds of different colors and shades. Well, without a wide lens, you're only focusing on, like, let's say, the color right around the sun itself, right? Maybe you're at Clearwater Beach at Pier 60, and you're sort of mostly filling your frame with the sun. Well, that's going to be a very yellow or very orange kind of a sunset. But had you, for that exact same moment in time, picked a really wide lens and maybe even turned slightly so you're parallel to the beach instead of looking straight out west, then maybe some of that pinkish, purplish afterglow that sometimes happens behind you at sunset completely changes the trajectory of... So when two people that have made those two varying choices end up comparing notes, neither one of them is wrong.
Sure.
Was the sunset mostly yellow and orange, or was it a million colors? And so when I photograph people, this becomes really, really important. And that is... And the best thing I can do is hold space for people in the way that they are and who they are, try to spend a lot of energy understanding them, even in a small space, right?
Telling a story, more or less, kind of.
And then realizing, so I love, everyone gets the story part, right? Like everyone, like every photo says 1,000 words and so on and so forth. But the truth is, I have to also explain this to my clients, is that look, the way you have been made as a human being is too nuanced. There's too many versions of you that that coexist. Mm-hmm. And there's the work you, and then there's a fun you, and then there's the at-home you, and there's the happy you, and so on and so forth. And the best that I can do for my clients is simply give them my opinion. And that's not always going to be amazingly correct or spot on. So when that relative on Facebook who sees their granddaughter or their nephew or cousins and so on and so forth, and when they come back with the feedback that says, man, you really captured the soul. I didn't capture the soul of anyone. Mm-hmm. All they're saying that I'm interpreting is that, hey, Jeremiah, great job listening.
Mm. Yeah.
And I didn't summarize them because one photo or 1,000 photos aren't enough to summarize you, Doug, or you, Kelly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. Sure. I don't have that kind of power.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I can listen and be kind and simply, unlike the paparazzi photographer who's trying to find you at your absolute worst.
True.
I am just saying, look, you may be a really awful human being to the server or to your neighbor or whatever it is, but I can show you in your best possible light.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, that's good.
I like
that. I don't know if you're the same, but I like to go to, when I'm watching TV for any length of time, in the evenings usually, is to see all of the collections of images, the ones from different eras. And you're capturing a moment in history in a nanosecond. And don't you sometimes look at those pictures and wonder? There's a whole life there that hasn't been told.
Yeah.
You know? And all those people, let's see, this has been 78 years ago, they're all dead now. Mm-hmm. Even if they're children back in 19... Doesn't that kind of like mesmerize you a little bit?
So I love the word that you use, mesmerize, and I will say this, in the short version of the answer, because there is a longer one that would require probably a couple cups of coffee we're going to get into, and I know we got to wind this down because it's a radio show with an end in sight. But I would say that mesmerizing thought actually has caused me to have what would be a very jarring conversation within the context of, for example, just to give you one, the context of doing a consult with a bride and groom. And when I have met with brides, I have talked to them about this idea that I should probably get an award for being the most tactless photographer there probably is. Because when you talk to brides and grooms, you should just focus on the happy and everything's peachy and wonderful. But I have been known to be able to say things that are jarring that say, listen, here's something that I don't want to lose sight of, is that sometimes marriages don't work out. And unfortunately, that's a reality in the world that we live in today.
50%, I think, yeah.
And there's a whole host of other things that we're not going to get our hands really muddy with, but I'd like to say one thing. If you guys choose to have, or if children result from this marriage, and this marriage falls apart, I need you to understand one thing that I'm not going to stop thinking about from now until the end of the photo delivery time, and that is this. You are entrusting me with the born-on date to your descendants' family tree. Hmm. And while we can get caught up in the shoes and the flowers and the dress hanging up in the doorway, and a whole bunch of other shots that you have seen on Facebook that you would also like to have in your...
The bride feeding cake to the groom, right?
And they're all great. I've got nothing against the shot list, right?
Understand.
Shot lists are helpful to be on the same page.
Sure.
But from my perspective, I am being entrusted, and this is true for other scenarios that I find myself in, like family portraits as well, where there's generations, grandparents get invited to Philippi Park. I have done hundreds of those photo shoots over the years. And I do think about this. I think about being entrusted with writing love letters to their descendants who they might never meet.
Mm. Wow.
And their descendants might look at a grin or a smirk or a gesture or a movement that gives them a clue on who great-great-grandpa or grandma were. Mm-hmm. And so while that sounds like, my goodness, this guy must be insufferable to work with, I promise you I can be chill and kind of go with the flow.
Sure.
It does cost the same, mind you. If you just want me to be chill and go with the flow, the price is the same. So you don't get a break because you're asking me to check my brain at the door. But I do think about those things because they are important to me personally. I think of my children's photos that I have made over the course of their lives. I think of those photos not just the end result of a father who happened to be a artist who was capable of making those portraits, but for my children, I see those as my love letters to them and my grandchildren.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a great vision.
I just want to say, you teach photographers photography as well, and you have a studio. I just don't want to leave that part out, right?
I do, yes. Okay. My studio is located in Safety Harbor, and if I were to summarize what I do, because it is a little complicated because I'm a little all over the place.
Okay.
I would say that I'm a portrait and a commercial photographer, so I do a little bit of everything. I still work in events. I still work for several cities and counties in the state of Florida, and I still do things in the commercial realm with advertising and marketing photography. I would say that's been more of what I focused on in the last couple of years since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Since 2020, I think I've been going more into the branding that is thoughtfully communicating things for entrepreneurs and business owners to connect them with their audiences.
Okay, so if I wanted to take a photo class from you, where would I go?
So the photo class, great question. So I'd love for you to email me and or give me a call. I'd love for you I'd love to. I do answer and field questions all the time. I spent about 5 years on the faculty at the Dunedin Fine Arts Center.
Diane Wood, she's still there? Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But I stopped right as we were sort of coming out of the 2020 era there.
Oh, I see.
And I taught two classes a week. Uh-huh. So now there's not a whole lot of time for teaching, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have had that as my path. So when you read that in the bio, you were probably seeing that time when I taught over at the Dunedin Fine Arts Center.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So what is your contact info?
Well, really my socials, all of my socials are just my full name. And again, I love that last name having to be contended with, but it's Jeremiah Coker. So at Jeremiah Coker is pretty much everything.
Okay.
And my website is, I did take some advice from some friends who were willing to help me out and say, hey, idiot, don't put your last name in the domain if you can help it. And so my website is Jeremiah K. Just the letter K, photography.com. So Jeremiah K, photography.com.
And Jeremiah is spelled with an H at the end.
It is.
Jeremiah, as it's usually spelled.
Yeah, and ironically, the person I was named after is probably also notorious for being an insufferable, crying, little, whiny individual. I'll let you figure out who that was.
Okay.
And I recommend that people follow you on Facebook because I haven't met you up until today, but I've admired your photography for a long time. So
what would you call your specialties? Are they portraits? Are they wildlife, nature? What is your bag? What would you rather do if you didn't have to get paid?
That's a difficult question for me because one of the things that dabbling in all sorts of different subsects of photography allows me to do is have these varied weeks where I spent 4 days up at, say, the Clay County Fair last year, and I was knee-deep in pigs and cattle and goats and hay, and I spent 4 days doing the agricultural part of the fair up in Clay County, which is in the Jacksonville area. And then 4th of July, the last three years, I guess, I've been down at the city of Hialeah shooting their 4th of July concert. Mm-hmm. which is a completely different environment than that.
Sure.
And then there's some stock photography. I do shoot food and drinks for several different companies to do their branding for them there. But I would say that the funnest thing I enjoy doing is working with people, just everyday people, who feel like they're either unphotogenic or who feel like they're not able to communicate effectively through the medium of visual art. So whether that is video and or still images, because I do both, and really do both, and I'm sure, Kelly, you get this easily. The writing has been on the wall for many, many years, as that is that without being able to provide video services to your clients, you're not really giving them some of the things that they truly need, specifically in the digital space.
True.
When it comes to marketing and advertising. People would probably be my favorite subject.
People, yeah.
But photography is made up of two Greek conjoined words. We get the first word light from photo, that is Greek, that is light in Greek. And graphy means to write or draw. And so painting with light is what I do. And so nowhere in that definition of that word itself does it say, well, what do you paint? So we have this question for photographers, and I'm not at all being critical of you guys here at all. This is just something that I think we all understand. Like, I'm sure you've been somewhere public, Kelly, and with a camera in your hand, and I'm sure someone, a passerby, has at some point said, hey, are you getting any good photos? And you normally say, I hope so, or some other version of that answer. But we never ask painters that.
That's true.
Are you painting any good paintings lately? Mm. Yeah. Well, no, we just assume to look at their work and make the decision ourselves.
Yeah.
And so photography isn't about a type of subject as much as it is understanding light. And your ability to take light, understanding the physics of light, and when you say light, that also, by the way, includes color. So remember the old Pink Floyd album cover?
Yeah.
Where light is refracted through the prism?
Sure.
And it goes in clear, but it comes out?
Yeah.
The color of the rainbow.
Yeah.
Well, that refraction is just a quick way to understand that color is not independent of light.
Very good.
In other words, even color is made up of just different bands within rays of light. So color, light, it's impossible to understand what you're doing and saying without understanding light. So more important than understanding your subject, you have to understand the medium with which you're painting in, and that is light.
Jeremiah, that's been extremely interesting, very, very revealing. Once again, before we have to take off here, give us again your contact info.
So my socials are just at Jeremiah Coker, and Coker, unfortunately, is K-H-O, and I'm not repeating myself, K-H-A-R.
Okay.
And Jeremiah with an H, as you said earlier, and my website is jeremiahkphotography.com.
Okay, that's wonderful.
And I wrote that on Facebook as well, so
very good.
People can just refer to it.
Well, Kel, I think it's time to wrap things up. I hate to. It seems like our hour goes by so fast when we have interesting guests like Jeremiah, but we do have to wrap it up. And what's our verse for the week?
John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Very good, and I always like saying this at the end of the show because it's so true. Just remember, don't go looking for happiness or expect it to fall in your lap. Instead, take happiness with you and lighten everyone around you. In behalf of Kelly, Ed Davis, and myself, please join us again next Monday and every Monday at this same time for another happy hour of the Kelly Show. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the award-winning Kelly Show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. I'm Monica Ricks. More resources are pouring into Baltimore today, where